something that you used to serve. That's an interesting thing, you know. It's hard to compete with something that nobody's seen. No matter how good a job you do, and I do a good job, it's awfully hard to compete with something nobody's ever seen. Paul said, I perceive you're too superstitious. He said, you should have an inscription. You should make your inscription to the unknown God. And he said, you're entirely too superstitious. You have an unknown God. Christianity was never based on the idea of an unknown God. It was based on a human God. Jesus was flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, and he was known as God, the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, born without the accoutrements of genealogy or prestige. Born without a father, as far as the world knew anything about it. That's the way the world considered him. Said, we know whose father our father is. Our father's Abraham. But the inference of the written scripture was, Jesus, you're born of a bastard. You're nothing. We know who our father is, but who is your father? But you see, that was the beauty of Jesus. Though he was made in the form of a servant, though he was born on the wrong side of the tracks, yet he saw in himself the form of God, and he considered it not robbery to be equal with God. That's a remarkable truth if you get a hold of that truth. And though he were a servant, though he made himself a servant, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He let this mind be in him that was attributed to God. And he told us to let the same mind be in him, in us, that was in Christ Jesus. But most folk have an unknown God. And Christianity is not based on an unknown God. Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen God. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, I've come in my Father's name. And they said, one time he said, for what good work do you stone me? He said, the assailants said, we don't stone you for any good work. We assail you because you being a man blaspheme and make yourself God. That's what got Jesus in all trouble. That's why we're in all trouble. Because when somebody becomes God in the earth, then they have a moral effect on people. They have a qualifying effect on people. They can tell people right and wrong, and they can demonstrate right and wrong. People don't like that. Everybody likes to keep God out there in the unknown, then everybody can interpret him. Everybody that's living in iniquity, they can live in prostitution, live in drugs, live in libertinism. They can live wherever they want to, do whatever they please, and they can call the shots as they see God giving the shots. And nobody's responsible. And everybody's got their own interpretation. But now when God takes himself a body, then you got a horse of a different color then. You got a different story when God takes himself a body. When principle becomes flesh, then it's not left up to everybody to say what they want for what God is supposed to be doing. It's not left up to everybody to interpret God. God speaks for himself and addresses the masses on his own behalf and on his own right. America has a superscription to the unknown God. And because of that unknown God, the most segregated institution in America is the church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. The most racist institutions are the churches. You can listen to the broadcast over and over all through these religious broadcasts. You can hear hate. If you just listen with a close ear, with a scrutinizing mind, you can hear hate all the time teaching people to hate one another. Disrespect for people of color. Look at America today. It has an unknown God. Because most people don't know who God is. Most people don't know that Jesus Christ is God, and that all spirits that confess not that Jesus Christ is come into the earth is a deceiver and is an antichrist. Only those that know that Jesus Christ is in the flesh in 1972 is an antichrist. All others are deceivers. That's all you can say for them. They're deceivers. When they try to tell you that God isn't in the flesh, they're telling you a lie. Because God's never changed. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." Didn't say something. He said, "I." Didn't say a feeling. He didn't say some kind of a ghost. He said, "I am with you always." And he said, "I'll be with you. I'll be a God to you. I'll have a body as long as the earth stands." He said, "All things may pass, but I shall never pass. Heaven and earth may pass away, but I'll never fade away. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's good to know this truth. But you see, people have a tradition, and traditions are hard to do away with. Men have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. They have a tradition of worship in which they don't want to loosen very easily or very freely. Now you look out over this vast universe tonight, and vast it is, with 100 billion planets in our Milky Way system, and then 100 billion more planets, more Milky Way systems like ours. It means 100 billion times 100 billion. That's too many for you to count. 100 billion times 100 billion. And if you traveled at the speed of light for a year, for 1 year, you'd go something like 6 trillion miles. And 6 trillion miles won't get you but one of the 3 trillion miles you've got to go to get beyond where you can see. But most of us don't have brains enough to figure that out. So what we do is just get a big unknown God, and we just set him up there, and he does all this for us. When we don't understand something, unknown God. You go out there to look for jobs, and no jobs because of your color, you say, "Well, it's the unknown God." Or it's the unknown devil that the unknown God made. Or the unknown devil that the unknown God allowed to be. That never made any sense to me either. Now, when you get God in the earth, it won't be a panacea until you make him all God. That's pretty hard to do. Meaning principle. You got to trust God. God means good. And when you believe in God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, then you've got something going for you. But I want you to take this church against all other churches. The churches out there that believe in the unknown God. They say we're the devil. And they've got the unknown God working for them. And that clock, is it 10 of 10? Well, get that thing said. That's not right. That didn't seem right. Give me a watch. Watches like most religious folk can't tell anything by them. But they set it at 10 minutes of 10. All right. I knew it wasn't right, but I don't know. That's too nice a watch to hold. Give me my old store-bought $2 watch here. West clock. Somebody give me a West clock. That's all I need. Now, we have a shorter time space tonight than usual. Tomorrow we'll have a normal time at 11 o'clock, but we're going to try to get a little bit of understanding. Because I want you to have health. Most folk won't sit down long enough to get health. They go tripping around and they never get any chance to get any understanding. And you got to get understanding. Now, you can go across the street to First Baptist, or you can go down the street to Macedonia, or you can go up the street to El Bethel or wherever. You can go over here to the Church of Christ, and you read in the newspaper, you see every one of those preachers having a funeral every week, and some of them having 3 funerals. 3. I read one day when Macedonia had 3. He had 3 in one day. Now you see, the unknown God, that's the kind of results you get from him. Die like flies. Just die like flies. Take a ride across town. Them folk don't travel anymore across town. They wouldn't think of going like we do. We go all the way to Redwood Valley and go all the way to Los Angeles. Next weekend we'll be all the way back and up and down the roads. Los Angeles, we haven't had anybody hurt, haven't had anybody killed. Even disobedient ones that didn't really know what they were doing. I saved their lives. prophesied to a couple of people the other day. Don't do this. Don't do this, or you're going to get in trouble. And as sure as the world, they did it anyway. Said, don't you do it. Prophesied the accident, and they did, and the car all tore up, and nothing went wrong with them. I give them another chance. The unknown God don't give you no chances. You don't even know what's happened to you when you worship the unknown God. You're in trouble all the time because you can't figure out nothing. You don't know the rules of the game. The nicer you are, the worse things go.
True.
You try to help somebody and you get run over by a truck tomorrow on a street corner. So I'm going to have some folk. I'm going to separate the men from the boys and the ladies from the girls tonight. Don't you compare me to no unknown God. Now look at my house. My house isn't what I want it to be, but when I get through with my house, at least let's look at my house tonight. Nobody hungry in my house. I went downstairs to see that some that got in the food that wasn't even from Los Angeles, Fresno. I worry about that meticulously, and precious ones work with me. I say, I want the food at a certain time. I want them to have enough. I want to see that this one's got rest. Be Whitney here. I went down to her personally to see her, that she was moved from the other church over here, that everything worked out. I look after my own. Not one of mine that is hungry tonight. Not one of mine that doesn't have a place to rest tonight. And if you don't like where you live, I'll give you a better place. That's what I'll tell you. I'll give you a better place. I will look after my own. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to narrow down so I figure out who my own are. Because when I get through, some of you folk are never going to come back and see me again. I won't have to worry about you. Because if you can't take the truth, you're not worth much anyhow, you see. The truth sets you free. That's all Jesus came to earth to say. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what I've come back to tell you. You're going to know the truth. The truth will liberate you. The truth will free you. The truth will set you free. Won't make any homages to the unknown God anymore. Won't have to make any offerings to the unknown God. You won't have to walk down the street with your head down, afraid somebody's going to knock you over with a bolt of lightning. Because I'm going to free you from superstitions. I'm going to free you from all those fears. I'm going to cause you to know that you are what Jesus was. He said, what good work do you stone me? Jesus said, we don't stone you because of good works, Jesus. It's because you, being a man, make yourself God. He said, well, isn't it written to those whom the word of God came? Scripture can't be broken. He said, it's written that ye are gods. He said, I'm just doing what you have had written. It's in the book. Don't look at me funny. Jesus said that every human being was a god. I'll give you the verse of Scripture if you want me to give you the verse of Scripture. I can give you the verse and Scripture to the line. That you are God. I'm a God and you're a God. And I'm a God and I'm going to stay a God until you recognize that you're God. And when you recognize you're God, I shall go back into principle and will not appear as a personality. But until I see all of you knowing who you are, I'm going to be very much what I am. God Almighty God. You see now, that upsets you. That upsets you. Because you've been brainwashed. Jesus said he was God. Yet Jesus was made perfect through the things that he suffered. He learned obedience through the death of the cross. That means he didn't know it when he started. Because if he had been God to begin, he would have been perfect to begin. But he said he was made perfect through sufferings. He learned obedience through the death of the cross. So Jesus was made God. Jesus made himself conformable to the image of the death of the cross. Anybody that's perfect doesn't have to make themselves conformable. And of course, you're just judging by a whole lot of scriptures. And all these scriptures, we always end up in this, and I've got enough time to educate folk. And folk don't want to be educated too bad. But when I get through, at least I'll have a few of you. And while the sky god, let's make this little comparison. The sky god. Look across the world tonight. A great Christian Baptist home on Thursday in Atlanta, Georgia. A great Baptist home for the aged. 27 people burned alive. Poor old people hanging out on the outside of windows trying to hold on, and they cried to God. I heard their scream. Those Baptists crying to the sky God. Now, if they had looked to me, and that Baptist home was built without any fire escapes. See, now, most preachers would have let you stay in here. They wouldn't have paid the rent for this tonight. They'd had to get special custodians at $6, $12 an hour. They wouldn't have done that, but I care about you. I wouldn't have, even though I know I've got the power to keep that building, if there wasn't a rafter in it, I could hold it up and suspend it air. Say, you're a cocky fool. I'm not cocky. I'm just practical. I know what I've done because I got proof of it. There's a man sitting on the front row up there. There's a man up there, Brother Touche. He's got a children's home right there on the front row of the balcony. A Greyhound bus fell on him, and I told the people where he was, and I held that Greyhound bus. I mean, it fell off its jack on his body, but not one harm came to him because I said it would not be, and it was not. There he stands, right up there, the white brother on the front row. Don't think he's some kind of a willy-nilly follower, because he wasn't. He didn't believe in me so much that he went to the FBI against me, because he didn't believe in me. And he thought I was a kook, and everybody else was a kook, and it had to take something powerful to make him believe. And he's a believer, and he didn't come easy. So don't say he's some kind of a stupid follower, because he's not a stupid follower. That bus had to be kept from falling on him before he believed it. Some of you imagine the sky God comes in and talks to you and breathes on you, and you never see it, and all it is just a cold fall breeze or a hot spring air, and you make up something, you know. It's sweet anyhow. When I get through, my people are living longer, so that's not so. Sky God. And if those Baptist people had been out there looking to me, see, I'll give you what you give me. I'm just a motivator and a duplicator and a reproducer and a dynamo and a generator. The more you give me, the more I generate. Those Baptists didn't believe me. They believed in the sky God. And they believed in the sky God, and consequently a bunch of dumb preachers built a building without any stairs in it, no fire escape, and those people had to burn alive because there was no way up, out, in, out of that building. And all those Baptists were interested in was making money off those people. They leaned on the sky God. One of the most dreadful stories of that one missionary lady that had served so long in the Baptist mission, and she hung there for 15 minutes hollering, and nobody even ventured in. None of them preachers even run in to try to help her. They won't do that. I've run in with fire in my hands, been singed up and down my body. I took a baby out of a house that burned down right in Ukiah, took the baby and the dog right out of the house. I didn't even know them. When Brother Cartmel, who's out the head of the security now, went down the side of a mountain, I caught him. I just jumped, and I held on, and I caught him. Now, I'm just saying this. None of my children are without home. None of them are without an education that want it. 109 of them in studies now, because I am a father that looks after his own. None of my children need food. If you do, all you got to do is come up here tonight, and I'll take you and I'll give you home. And if you're cold, I'll take you in. If there's one of you that's here that wants to be a follower of mine, I don't mean you can't carry that sky God in here, because that messes us up. Now you got to leave that sky God alone. I said, like I said of old in Elijah's day, he said, let the God that's God answer. He said, let the God that is God answer by fire. And that's what I say to you. If the sky God is indeed your God, let him feed you. If he's your God, let him feed you. Let him house you. When you get in trouble in the courts, let him go to court for you. You try to get him in court. I've been trying to get him recruited. I haven't been able to find him. No, child. Now let's just think about this. I'm just doing what the scripture says. I'm being what you should have been, and I had to show you a little bit of courage to be what you ought to be. Well, some of you were well on the road. You were ready for me. You were looking for me. You were hoping that I'd come along. You just wanted somebody to tell you that all the things you thought were true, and I come along and told you you were right. And some of you really didn't know how to take me the first time you met me. And some people don't know how to take me. Last night, two people stomped out. Man, life, I knew it in his hands, knew his name, told when he would die. I had the key to give him life, but he stomped out because I didn't do what he thought I ought to do. I didn't pray the way he thought I ought to pray. Now let's just notice this. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought. It's in St. John 10:33. Now you read that. You go home and read that tonight. St. John 10:33, and you'll see there that it is said, Jesus said, "It is written, ye are gods." And that caused those people so much trouble, they killed him. They killed him for that. Boy, that was too much. Don't you tell nobody like that. Because you need to see the way everybody keeps this thing going the way it is. I saw Billy Graham the other night on television. And he's on there for 2 hours. And he was talking about all the sins. He said people robbing and stealing, shoplifting. He said so much shoplifting. He can talk about all the sins of little people. I just enjoy listening to that hypocrite. He can talk about all the sins of little people, the shoplifters and the people that steal milk, he said, and the people that do this and do that. Why don't he tell about those dirty generals that are over there stealing oil and riches and the money from the people? Why don't he talk? You never hear it. Billy Graham always talking about sin. Always talking about sin. He had the devil every place. Every place you turn on the TV on Channel 44 and Channel 5 this past week, it was something else to hear him. He was on there for 2 hours talking about the devil. He said, the devil, 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 devil. He said, the devil here and a little devil there and a big devil here. He said, everybody got a devil. He said, if you're sick, it's a devil. Everything's a devil. Everybody possessed, obsessed. What else can you talk, you know? And somebody said, this is what he said this week. He said, well, I heard it right on TV. Don't say I didn't hear it. I listened only for just about 50 minutes to listen to him. I hardly ever listened to it, but I thought I'd listen to this man, see how foolish what he has to say is. And he said, now I know you've heard me talk much about the devil tonight. And he said, somebody's going to ask me, why didn't God kill the devil? But he said, I can't answer that. Sure as I'm sitting here, that's what he said. He said, somebody, how many, anybody heard Billy Graham knows he said it. You heard it, he said it. He said, now somebody going to ask me, why didn't God kill the devil? But he said, I can't answer that. He said, I can't answer that. Sure he can't answer it. Don't make any sense whatsoever. Bunch of fools sitting there listening to him, 50,000 people packing out a stadium, listening to that fool talking about some devil that the God can't get rid of. You say, I'm not going to come back. No, you won't come back till you get hungry, because you won't come back till you get in trouble. And when you're going to pray to the sky God and beat your chest 3 times and you remember Jim Jones and come running back. I know you. Yeah, I know you. You're going to get up there in front of that. You're going to get in front of that judge and you'll say, come on, God. Come on, God. Come on, God. And you'll try 3 or 4 times. He don't come. And you'll say, get Jim Jones for God's sake. So if you think that you're upset by this, that's a design. I've got to find out who's willing to think. It's only right that I get somebody to be like I am. I want you to be like me. I don't want you to worship me. I want you to be like I am. I want you to become what I am. I want you to enjoy the fearlessness that I have, the courage that I have, the compassion that I have, the love that I have, the all-encompassing mercy that I am. I want you to be what I am and something greater. I want you to give you more than I have. I want you to be greater than I am. And if you don't want to go this route, then go to hell where you want to, but don't bother me. So sweet. Billy Graham just talked to me and said, somebody got to talk about sin. Talk about the little old women. He said, even little old women stealing stuff. Why didn't he talk about the little old governments that don't give them enough to even keep their body and soul together? Why don't he talk about the thieves that are in high places? That's what somebody needs to talk about. But he could talk about little old women stealing. Sick, this country, sick. You afraid of Jim Jones. Jim Jones got no hungry people. He's adopted 8 babies. He fed 200 babies that were starving. His homes are all beautiful. All of his senior citizen homes. All of his children homes. Everybody is in good frame of mind compared to the world. Why are you afraid of me? You ought to be afraid of that big bad wolf of the church out there. That big bad dog wolf you got. Three years, we've created a beautiful, warm community up there where every bed linen is clean and lovely, and every bed is soft and nice, and every home, every room has extra heat if the main furnace isn't enough, and beautiful ponds and lovely, lovely settings and lovely lawn furniture and lovely flowers. Everything that people need. That's what this God's doing. Now, what is the sky God doing? He is supposed to have created all of you. And yet the President Nixon said 2 out of 3 of the babies of this world right now, tonight, are crying for hunger. They're going to bed hungry. That's what President Nixon said this last administration. That's what the State Department of the United States said. 2 out of 3 of his babies going to bed hungry. He's supposed to have all power. If those Baptists over there in Atlanta had given me power, they wouldn't have been no aged home without a fire escape. Even our aged home has a fire sprinkler. It has a fire alarm system in every hall, in every room. You can see the little device. No, you trust in Jim Jones. He won't put you up on no 9 floors without a stairs to get down. Only the sky God does that kind of nonsense. You see... He said, well, Jim Jones, I don't know what to do with the universe. It's how to get here. If I see a pile of horse manure out there on the sidewalk, I know it's there. But I'm not worrying about it because I know it stinks, and I know if you get in it, it's a mess. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, the world of religion and the world of explanations about God making the devil being all-loving, the sky God being all-loving, and his stories don't hold water. That's why I've come to give you this little book, and I'll give it to you tonight free. As bad as the offering is, I'll give it to you free if you can't afford it. I've put enough here to set you free. And if you can become what I am, and you can stir up the nation and bring sense back here and bring heaven down here, and also get another heaven to boot. If you listen to this little book and study it carefully, you won't find anything there but that makes sense if you study it carefully. In the beginning, the sky God was supposed to be up there in the big, vast 100 billion planets and 100 billion universes, 100 billion times 100 billion, wherever he is, wandering through the planets, and he looked down here for 1 out of 100 times 100 billion, and he saw this little earth, and he said, well, that's where I'm going to make somebody to worship me. That's what all these Christians say, all the people on earth, all the only people in the universe down here on this little old piece of sand. And the scientists say that if every planet were a piece of sand, if the earth was just a piece of sand, there's not enough sand to compare the planets that are bigger than the earth in all of this big wide globe. That's how little this little world is. And little old heads thinking that this is the most important place on earth, on the universe, earth. But God, you know, he picked out this earth and he was lonely. Now, when I look out over the suffering, I'll do something about you that are here. Don't you ever call me the creator, because I don't want to be called no creator. A savior, I am. A friend, I am. A deliverer, I am. Don't call me no creator, because I'll tell you, I wouldn't have put you in the messes that you've been in. I love you too much. I wouldn't have put you there. But let's think now. You don't need to clap for me. I want you to think. I hope that some of you will get my message. That's all I've come to do, is give you the truth. That's all I want. And I'll tell you, with the power that I have, the gift that I have, the supernatural miracles, 8 people were healed of total blindness last week in Los Angeles. Blinder than bats. Blinder than bats. Couldn't see light, I'm talking about. These I'm talking about this week. One woman blind, complete. I said, you're totally blind. Another woman, totally blind, can't see anything. When I got through with her with my power, she was not only seeing fingers, but she told me the color of things and told me exactly everything I held in my hand. Now, I don't care what you say you heard, but you haven't seen nobody representing the sky god do that, and you know you haven't, and you're a liar if you say otherwise. And you've never seen anybody can take a cancer out of a person like that dear brother was jumping up and down. It was swollen up in great big knots like apples, and I took it away with one stroke. You can see no one like this grandmother that was up here a while ago when I spoke the word, and her child was burning up with meningitis, and it went away just as the word said it would. You can show nobody got that kind of power. And if I'd use that power and shut my mouth, there'd be hundreds of thousands across this nation that'd flock in, give me all the kind of money I could own the White House. But there's only one catch. Jim Jones is honest, and he teaches the truth, and he causes people to think, and people want to get healed, but they don't want to think. They do not want the healing of the mind. Heal my toe, honey. Heal my back. Heal my bottom. But don't you heal my mind, because my mind is too sick. Just lost two more there. All right. Now think about it. God up there was lonely. And so out of the big domain he wandered to and fro, and he said, I gotta have somebody to worship me. That's what Billy Graham explained it. That's the way he's got in his little book. I forgot the name of the book. That's all the theologians, every one of them, they may give a little different words, but they all come up with the same kind of stuff. God was lonely. Where's that old West clock watch here now? I got it. I gotta get out of here. I'm not paying any more rent, because I'd rather feed you. I got it right there. John the Baptist trying to mess up the work. So. It's really funny that I keep on trying to get through to people. That's what's funny. Anyhow, God is out there, and he looked over the vast horizon of time, and he was lonely. That really killed me. That always got to me. Because, you know, I've adopted 8 children, or somewhat down to, I don't even keep track how many children I've reared and adopted. I've had 20, 30 through the years in my home. Some of them were starving when I got them, really literally starving. Sue now starting to be a dietitian. That's what she was doing. That's what Lou, this precious young drummer back there, handsome chap, he was starving when I got him. And I took him in. But this idea of making children, I'd never make any child only to save somebody. I can't dig this thing. But he was lonely. So he looked out there. So he says, make man. What did he make man? Billy Graham says he made man to worship him. Now, you know, if I told you, come over to the church tonight because I'll give you the privilege of worshiping Jim Jones, you'd say, I'll tell you where to go and where to stay put. Say, I'm going to give you the privilege to come over here through the night to worship me. You wouldn't come across the street. Yet I'd do things that would deserve praise. Yet we've listened to that nonsense that God was lonely and God made people to worship him. And that's how he come up with Adam and Eve. No, Adam and Eve's a little, he had some angels up there too. I guess he had to make them too. But the angels, they didn't worship him enough. They just went away around and said, oh. He wanted to give somebody that was smart enough to go wrong and then know that they were going wrong and have all kinds of things happen to them so they'd have to eat the dirt and then say, I'm sorry, so he could forgive them. Now, I won't go over that twice, but something like that. The angels couldn't do anything wrong. That wasn't enough. He had all those angels bowing and flapping their wings and the cherubims. That wasn't enough. And one of those angels was too much for him. He made the most beautiful one he made. He got too careless there. He made a beautiful one. Lucifer, he made him the most beautiful angel. And that cotton picker, he wasn't. Old Lucifer up there, and he said, ha ha ha. He gave me too much of his brains. He gave me too much of his looks. He looked out over that mess, and he said, I'm not going to go around here bowing and scraping anymore. And he took a third of his angels and run off with him. Took one third of God's angels and run off of him. That's the kind of foolishness you've been worshiping all these years. You've been worshiping such nonsense as that. Don't make an ounce of sense. So, you're talking about Lucifer being now. What kind of a guy? I wonder what you've done if you've been Lucifer. I think that story, that analogy is so good that Lucifer once said, somebody met the devil and said, Lucifer, what in the world ever caused you to leave heaven? What in the world ever caused you to rebel against God? He said, I'll tell you in just 5 seconds. He said, I'll show you why I left heaven. He said, now you, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up on this barrel. And I said, I want you to run around that barrel and say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And after about 50 times around that, the old fella says, you know, I'm tired. He said, that's what got matter with me. That's the reason I left heaven. You know what? You're so brainwashed, some of you can't even laugh at that. That's funny. The devil said that's why he wouldn't stay in heaven, because God was up there on a throne. He had to run around saying, hallelujah, 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 and he got tired of it, and so he left. Some of you are still afraid that you're going to get knocked over. I've been preaching this for a half century. I'm a granddaddy. Won't be long before I'm a great-granddaddy. I've been preaching like this ever since I was a child. I'm going to preach a long while yet. Nobody come down and knock me out yet. And you know what? I wouldn't care if they did, because I'd be free. When they come for me, at least I'd be free. Some of you scared of your shadow. There's nobody I'm scared of. Let them come wherever they are. Let them come. You don't know how good it is. Some of you people don't know. You don't live. You live with fears. You live with bondages. And there's a great truth I'd like to give you, but I got to get rid of the old. You know, Jesus said you can't take new wine until you get rid of the old. You got to get rid of the old vessel. You can't put new wine in an old vessel. You can't put a patch on this thing. You got to get a new garment. Now, let's say God was lonely, so he made Adam and Eve too, and they were down there. First man, the first woman, and there they were down there. And he couldn't even get them straight in 5 minutes. Adam and Eve. I'm talking about silly stories, folk. Silly stories. I want you to read some of these silly stories and to know what you've been caught up in. You've been caught up in a mess. Now, Adam and Eve down there, because he was lonely, and poor old folk didn't know their right hand from the left. God said, now you can eat of one tree, but don't you dare eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you'll have as much sense as I got. That's what he said. Or he didn't say just that way, but he said, don't you? I'm not talking about the true God. Now I'm talking about the God of the old King James Bible and all these other mistranslations. He said, now you can eat any tree you want, but don't you eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because you do, you have much sense as we do. You know right from wrong. Well, old Eve, she's out there on a food trip for her husband. She licked that apple. And that snake, he coiled around up there. He had more sense than anybody. And the snake was a prophet. She said, I want that apple. And the voice of God, the false God, the old God of the King James says, don't you do in the day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. Old snake grew up around there. He said, don't you pay no attention to him. He said, when you eat like that, your eyes will become open. When you eat that apple, your eyes will be open and you won't die. But the God of the Bible was supposed to have said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, so Eve, she listened to the snake. She took that apple. Took that apple home and ate it. Huh? Ate it, and what happened? They didn't die. I don't want to disturb any of your tender sensibilities, but they didn't die. They quit worrying about God being lonely and they got together. Anyhow, so I come here to get healed. I didn't come here to get nonsense. If you know, if you'd listen to me and laugh a little bit, I've had cancer. Methodist Hospital said I'd die 17 years ago. I'm living because I've learned to laugh at all the fears and let them go by me. I've learned to give them myself to others. And if you just watch me tonight, you get what you need and you get healed. Oh, yes, you will. Your blood pressure begin to lessen down because some of your fears and your worries and your pressures, they'd pass away, because laughter is good medicine for the soul. It's good medicine. A merry heart makes a merry heart. Anywho, they didn't die. Who was right? The old devil. The devil was right. God said, in the day you eat that apple, you'll die. And the devil said, the day you do, your eyes will be open. And they did. They looked at each other and they looked like they were pretty good. And then the trouble started. So, So no sense, you see, no sense. And the Bible supposed to said Adam was the first man and Eve was the first woman, as I said. And then a little bit later, Cain kills Abel. They had two children, only two, just two. That's all the Bible said they had was two. Cain had, then he killed Abel. And then what in the world happened? After Abel got killed with the jawbone of an ass, Cain went out and got him a wife in the land of Nod. Now, where did she come from? Where did she come from? That's all I want you to do. You give me some good reason. If Adam and Eve was the first, if Adam was first and then Eve, and that's why we got all the trouble. Women don't know. Today they're not free because of this kind of nonsense. Because all they think they count for is a rib in somebody's side. And so God took a rib out of Adam and spit on it or put some dust on it. And then come Eve. That's only two. And then them two got their eyes open, just like the devil said they would, and got together, and they had two. And those two, they were only two, but the one killed the other one, and the other one just politely walked away from them after killing him, went over in the land of Nod, and got him a wife. Say, I have come to free you from such a disease. I have come to liberate you from such as this. Say, Jim Jones, you're going to talk yourself out of business. Jim Jones, you're going to talk people to set up the thing that you're doing and do the same thing. I'd never be so glad. If you could duplicate three churches or three families like I have in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Redwood Valley, I'll help you. Be sure you've got as much love as I have. Be sure you've developed all the care that I have. Just take a little care, but when you develop what I've got, I'll be so glad to retire, and I'll just hold your coat while you carry on. Because there's no question about it. My people are not dropping dead like the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals. I look down on the front row and I see people 96 years of age. Yes. I can look down there and see Sister just passed her 96th birthday. Sister Ever there on the second row. And I look down there and I see Sister Janie, who was in the last time we were in this building, I think it was, when she was in that plaster cast, just come from the hospital across the way. And I said, oh, Janie, you're one of my children. The preacher over there was acting up. And I wanted to show him I got more power with me knowing who I, you know what I know, and you know what I am. Anyway. It's so sweet. The bones were out of her. I mean, child, I swear on your life, the bones were pressing through her skin. They broke and come out of the skin. They said, it'll never heal right. They had her all lined up with plaster up here. I said, take it off. That preacher over there acting like a fool. He was supposed to be a holiness preacher, and he was cussing, carrying on, sitting right on that wall. I said, all right, we'll show you. I said, like Elias, we'll show you who's the God. I said, see what your God can do for. And I'll show you what I can do for. I said, Janie, let the nurses cut that plaster off. And they had to cut, and they used shears, and they cut, and they used knives, and they dug in that thing. And when they got it off, I never shall forget, one of the blessed things in my life. She got something, and she threw it right up here dead on center. And that arm's been right ever since, hasn't it? She was blind, but now she sees. Deaf, but now she hears. Hole in her leg for 27 years, and when I touched it, it got healed. Oh, tell you, child, that's the difference between having something you can see, because what you see is what you get, and if you can't see it, you're not going to get it. I got some of them religious folk out there all shook up. Say, you don't even say good grammar. I do that just to bother you because you think you know so much. Now, when we get rid of one of those cancers tonight, one of those arthritis things, you come up here and you do all the praying you want to, and you holler, and you're back there hoping that God will drop me dead. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to drop before I do. Because I'm not going to drop till I get ready to drop. And when the folk like you want me to drop, I just ain't going to drop. arthritis things. You come up here and you do all the praying you want to. And you holler and you're back there hoping that God will drop me dead. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to drop before I do. Because I'm not going to drop till I get ready to drop. And when the folk like you want me to drop, I just ain't going to drop. Remember, you are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Didn't say you were saved by Bible reading. It said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can do things like that. It'll cut away the bone from the marrow. It'll straighten out the crooked bones and make them straight. It says it'll discern the thoughts and know the intents of the heart. It'll quicken the body, to separate the soul from the spirit. You've seen three people drop dead and you saw them resurrected. Their attitudes were prejudiced and they were dropped dead, but I resurrected them, and I've done it 63 times in 11 months. 11 months, December 1 today, 63 times this year in a public meeting. Now, if your God is so much better than me, why don't he do something about those folk dying in all those churches? I'm not saying I've got a cure, because some of you, why, you don't even know, all you do, times you like me, you don't know about who I am, hardly any of the time. That's something you want to believe, but it's just too big for you. So I just know you're a friend, Jim. Now, what if you gave me all your faith? You know, they always used to tell you to believe in something you don't see. Saying that if you didn't believe, you say, "Now you're terrible. You got to have faith. You never seen it, but you got to have faith." Preacher always start that stuff till offering time come. Then he don't talk about no faith then, honey. No, no. He'll talk about faith when you get hungry. He'll say, "Have faith." When that Baptist woman over here, the Calvary Baptist was, yes, that's all right, let him sue me. That's the name of the church, Calvary Baptist. When Calvary Baptist, when she was up in trouble over here, and they'd never been in my church, they were going to throw her away for taking a bottle of aspirin because her Medi-Cal was cut. He said, "You better have faith." Because he said, "You know I don't preach nothing like that." And he said, "If you done stole something, him, that old lying dog, he been to everybody in town, stole everybody's money and stole two or three women and maybe a man or two." Then that dear heart tells him, "I don't care, let him take me to court. My attorney's over there panting." I just like a good court suit. That just make me good and happy. I just love one. I'm too bored. Let him. You know the preacher. I've been waiting for George over there to sue me. George can't sue me because he knows he propositioned these two girls. They're afraid to sue me. They got nothing to do. I'll treat this thing a whole lot different next time. I'm just waiting for them to come along. Last time I listened to folk when the newspapers come, I said, they said, "Well, they're not yet." That's all right. That's nice of you. Last time they had these newspapers come ripping through here, and people said, "Well, we've got to do this, we've got to do this." Now this time, I'm going to tell you, you better get out before they come, because the next time newspapers come, I'm going to make such a stir. I'll be selling newspapers for 3 months. They don't worry me. I've got over that foolishness. Naturally, they're going to try to get us. Naturally, because if I get through, I'm going to put these operators out of business. I notice, you know, that the scriptures tells you, even with all of its errors, it tells you that if you try to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to get persecution. They're going to even deliver you to the council and the courts, and they'll lie on you, and they'll say all manner of things falsely, and they'll even kill you thinking they do God a service. I notice that's what this says will happen to anybody that's a true believer. And I notice the only people the newspaper's lying on been me. Reverend Ike gets up and publicly talks about taking $1,000, $1,000 of the people's money every week. It was in Newsweek, saying I take $1,000 every week of the people's money to buy my clothes. And don't you tell me, honey, because somebody just give me one of his old dirt sheets here. And just look at him. Look at him sitting in a throne called king, the king. I'll tell you what he's a king of, but it's not a nice word, so I'm not going to say it anymore. He can steal from people. He can live like that Stinson openly in a perverted relationship, that one young man that they brought out over TV and taken millions up and down the country. Ike does what he pleases. They can travel the way they want to, do what they please. Oh, yes, 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 child. Give him an admonition. Give him an admonition. Yeah, I don't have to. Sure, they can't take it. They get them people get all shook up. I'm going to shake you up more, too. And do what they please, live like they want to, and nobody bothers them. And I said, Reverend Petty, got a little girl down on a Sunday school table, underage. Nobody put a bit of it in the newspaper. Reverend Golder, the biggest Pentecostal church, Christ Temple, out with his own cousin. Never one word of it in the newspaper. I never bothered anybody. I'm straighter than the straightest thing you ever saw. Just straight as you want to make straight. And they don't tell a word of truth about me in the newspaper. Lie, lie. I wouldn't even known me if I had known they said People's Temple. I wouldn't even known what they're talking about. That's the sadness. I wouldn't have known what they were talking about. Making Tim Stone do things and he never even knew people, because as he saw people getting into high places, people that were good people getting into high places, he was assistant district attorney and helping poor people and working for the people, working for the community. They didn't want nobody like that, so they lied that he was supposed to ransack somebody's house of somebody he didn't even knew. He never knew them. He'd never met them in his life. And that great big newspaper lied. You imagine me ransacking a house when I can't even kill a little animal, an insect. Or any of my people ransacking the house. Now they want to mess us up, honey. Because they know if they don't mess me up, I'm going to mess them up. And that's what they're trying to do. And they'll try again and again to mess me up. Because you see, I'd expose devils like Billy Graham. Everybody thinks he's a saint. I heard him in Indianapolis when he said, I don't believe the Bible. Oh yeah, he told Reverend Iams, I and Beam, he said, but you got to preach it, because that's where people are at. And he told what he believed, and he told how he'd never quit preaching about integration, social action, against the war. He's forgot all these promises. But he's got a nice big home with an electric fence around it and beautiful acres, bringing in the millions of dollars every year. Oh, it's all raking in now. So he gets up and talks about devils, little women that shoplift. But not one word. Oh, they make me so sick I could vomit. Not one word about the international gangsters, the big corporations that bleed the people. Not one word about the bank rates that you see on the TV charge you 18%. 18% some of those shops a year. 18, 19%, 36%. Highway robbers. They don't tell you nothing. He don't tell you nothing about in Watts before the place burned down that they were charging twice the price for a TV set in Watts than they were in any other neighborhood, or twice the price for food. They were sending a week old bread there, sending all the dirty old vegetables that you wouldn't give to a rabbit or a rat. Billy Graham don't preach about that, but he preaches about little old women that shoplift. I'd like to get a hold of Billy Graham. I'd pray him through. Aye. There's never enough time in the day. I want to just close with getting you to think. Think, child, to think. You go through that Bible, let's just run through it here. You won't get this book. Some of you won't bother to get it because you don't want to know the truth. Let's just look at the first error on page 8. I got page after page after page after page after page after page of the lies that King James and the Douay version and all the other Bibles have told you. Page after page. So, Jim Jones, what do we believe in? You. Believe in me in order to believe in you. That's the only thing going to set you free. Christ is in you, the only hope of glory you're ever going to see. The only God you're going to see is in you. The only kingdom of heaven you're ever going to see is in you. I don't know about that. Well, there's a woman that dropped dead and was on crutches for 5 years just walking out of the aisle now. She believed in me and I said, walk. And she walked. She was dead and she could not breathe. No pulse, no heartbeat, no respiration, no blood pressure. I said, thou shalt live. She believed in me, and I believed in her, and we're having fun together. Says some dirty old mind gonna believe some. I don't care what your dirty old mind believes. I don't give a shoot about your dirty old mind, because if you had a dirty thought, then you haven't got much salvation. Because I was talking about we're having fun, freedom together, justice together. Now let's read the first one. Genesis 1:25-26. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and God said, let us make man in our image. First, according to Genesis, the first chapter, the 25th verse, God made the beast first, and then he made man. Now read the second chapter. Do you know the second chapter of Genesis is an account of creation, and the first chapter of Genesis is an account of creation, and they disagree 100% with each other? According to Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. This time he made man first. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. But according to Genesis 1, God made the beast first and then man. And you got God making vegetables for sunshines. You know you got to have chlorophyll for vegetables to grow. And you got vegetables coming for the sunshines. Ah, child. Then let's just read another one. Hebrews 11:17. By faith Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. You either have one or you have two, honey. You can't have both. Genesis 25 said, then Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. 1 Chronicles 1:32 got honest and said, Keturah, Abraham's whore, Abraham's concubine. Now, if you're a whore, honey, you're not a wife. Or you could be, but it's hard. Chronicles 1:32 said that Keturah was Abraham's mistress or concubine. But Genesis 25 said Keturah was Abraham's wife. Oh, said those are just little things, are they? Well, I think they're pretty big. Down through the list, just look. Trace some of these prophets in their years in the Bible, and you'll find as they... one account of them, and account after account, they're getting younger. The more years they get, the younger they are. Yeah. God promises Abraham everything, and he said, I'll give you the seed of all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Acts 7:5. And he gave him none, not any inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on it. He didn't even get his foot on Canaan, much less get it all. He didn't get even foot in it. Lies, lies. Lies. And Hebrews 11:9. Now let's read this again. Genesis 15:8. I'm about through. And I will give unto thee Abraham and to thy seed after thee in all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Acts 7:5. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on it. Hebrews 11:9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. There all died in faith, not having received the promise. Numbers 33:37. Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of God and died there. Deuteronomy 10:6 said he didn't die there at all. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth to Moserah. There Aaron died in Moserah, and he was buried. Moserah is miles away from the other place that was mentioned, Mount Hor. What do you do with this, child? And as I say, the summer upper is the last yellow page of this. You take it home, read it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. No, you don't want to read it. You just want to be took all time. Please, please know that if you don't read this, you're going to be in real serious trouble. I'm going to tell you this. When light comes to you and you don't walk in the light, then darkness comes. And how gross is that darkness? I'm not going to scare you with hellfire and that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you that you lose your soul when you don't walk in light. You lose your soul. When you know something's right and won't study it, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing a word of truth. I don't care if it's in a Western magazine. You're supposed to divide the word of truth wherever you find it. Rightly divide the word of truth. Said the Bible's the word of truth. I've already showed to you the Bible's not the word of truth. In the first place, King James was a king of England who took the first ship, good ship Jesus, brought back blacks in chains, and he murdered people all over the whole world. He was a drunk. History supports me in that. And he had 80 more people like him that wrote the Bible. 1611 A.D. You read it there. He was as mean a rascal as ever walked on earth. And you say you got the Bible. Oh, you love the Bible. Do you, women? You women all love the Bible? Yeah. Women, if you do, you women that I saw, some sister down there clutching it there in her purse, you better listen to it. Honey, now you wake up now. All you women, wake up and listen to me real good. If you love the Bible says, let the women keep silent in all of the churches. Suffer not the woman to teach. That means, honey, shut your mouth. It said to the slave, if you got a good master, be glad. It said if you got a bad master, endure him. Oh, yes, it does. I got a whole chapter in here on slaves. Ah, the terrible things that went on in this book. It's stuff that you ought to have more sense than to believe in a long time. Elijah, the great prophet supposedly of God, 2 Kings. Second chapter, 23rd verse. There came little children out and mocked him, laughed at him, saying, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and he looked on them and he cursed them in the name of God, Jehovah, the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears, according to his curse, out of the woods. And those two she-bears came and they tore 42 children of pieces. Why did you believe all that crap? What would you thought? What would you think of me if somebody laughed at me tonight? Somebody laughed at me and I'd say, who? I'll fix you. Two little children. If I had a bald head, children are naturally there. They make fun of bald heads. And most bald heads get a kick out of it. They're always little children that way. They'll make fun. They have to be taught differently. But what? It's something for them to laugh at. Most bald heads would enjoy it. Brother Parr down there, I'm sure, would take fun out of letting them make fun of him. Because it's fascinating to child, and it isn't even to me as I look down on Brother Parr's head and see the light glistening off of it. And they say, you know, bald head men, you oughtn't to feel too bad. And they say that no hair on the top doesn't mean there's no fire in the furnace, so don't. Anyhow, what would you think of me as a prophet if two. As little children would come up, 42 children, and tease me. And I'd say, you're not going to tease me. I'll curse you. And I'd call bears to come out of the woods and tear them up. I said, is that in the Bible? Yes, honey, that is in the Bible. I said, did God do it? No, God didn't do it. No, no prophet did it. That's that lying honky from England that told you that. Some of you don't know whether to smile or go blind over there. So I come here to get healed. You come back tomorrow and I promise you I'll pray and pray and minister. I'll walk up down the aisles. But if you'd get what I'm saying tonight, you know what? Tomorrow you wouldn't be worried about your stomach over there. Tomorrow you wouldn't have that headache you've got sitting there. You wouldn't have it. You get straightened out. I think that I've said about as much as can be said that'll do any good, as we said. God, according to the Bible, in Exodus 21, sanctions slavery. He said, if you buy a servant or a slave, if his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's. Take them away from the man. What kind of stuff? No wonder they've done this to blacks and browns and poor whites that they put in American bond servants. They've done it in the name of religion. Leviticus 25 says the same thing. Both thy bondman and the bondmaid which thou shalt have shall be of the heathen that are around you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy. You'll take the children from them as your inheritance. Ye gods. Ye gods. Exodus 21:20. And if a man slap your servant or his maid with a rod and he die under his hand, if he continues a day or two, he shall not be punished. For he is his money. In other words, somebody can slap your slave around and smite them and do what he wants to, but he shall not be punished because he has money. Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I'm glad Harriet Tubman didn't believe that. I'm glad Frederick Douglass didn't believe that. I'm glad a few slaves didn't believe that. Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey in all things your masters. Servant, slave, same thing. In the Hebrew, it's slave. Slaves, obey all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart and fear God. Slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling as unto Christ. God have mercy. 1 Timothy, let as many slaves as are under the yoke count their own yoke worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. In other words, stay a slave. Titus 2:9, exhort slaves to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not showing anything but good fidelity, that they adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Slaves, 1 Peter 2:18, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good master, not only to the gentle master, but also to the froward, to the evil one, or to this that is unthankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, it is right to do. No wonder people are spitting on blacks still. No wonder they still blow up blacks in little Baptist churches in the South. No wonder white people are treated like dogs because they have no money. Because it says to whatever state you find yourself therewith, be content. No wonder the Indians were run out of their homes and burned down and still only live to be 42 years of age in average life. Because if you're Indian, too bad. If you're poor, too bad. Say, you're shaking me up. I'll shake you up more. The last thing, I could read you thing after thing, but read the last yellow page on Jesus, Matthew 1 and Luke 3. You'll find that Matthew and Luke disagree as to who Jesus' grandfather is and how many great-grandparents he has back to Abraham. One has him having 15 more grandparents than the other. Think about it. You go home and read it. Where did Jesus die? Where did he resurrect? One says it was at Bethany. One says it was at the Last Supper. One says it was on another mountain. One says it was in Galilee. Where did he go from? When Jesus died, one said when Jesus was born, one said he went to Egypt. The other said he kept the feast of the Passover every year with his parents in Jerusalem. What did he do? One said when Jesus was crucified on the cross that all the thieves that were there railed on him. The other says only one malefactor did, and he rebuked the other. Now, what was the case? You don't know what the case was. Well, I'll tell you. This is it in a nutshell, and I'm not going to be able to say much more. What is the accounting report? Yeah, the elders' report, the finances. Glad Sister Mabel got this. That's good. Would be. What? What's that mean? But what do we get paid? I don't work that way. Better look at that. Yeah, but if I know what we did with the other guy. I know Father Joan knows you don't get something for nothing. Never did, never will. You want a little this? Take it. Take it down there. Some of them sisters think I'm getting high here. Take it down and give it here. Oh, they wouldn't believe you. Go take it down there and give some of them a drink. Give B some. She knows it. There's B there. She's 90-some years of age. Give her. See, they think I'm drinking old crow there. What is that, B. Whitney? What's that? Grape juice. Okay, give it to Mother Maternal and give her a swig. What she think it is? It's neat. It's not grape juice. What is it?
Grape juice.
That's an apple, grape, and cranberry juice mixture. Well, you see, nobody said it any wine. I don't drink any wine because I don't want my children to use marijuana. Wine, and I don't drink wine because I know wine causes cancer of the throat, causes cancer of the stomach, causes... You never have a throat cancer if you don't drink liquor. It's a good thing I don't drink liquor. I'd be in for it because I sure talk a lot. But I have to talk a lot to get anything across. A lot of folk right now, when I go down the line, they'll say, "Lord bless you, brother. Heal my toe." Before I get down that aisle, these folks saying, you just remember me and the Lord tonight now. You take me to the Lord. You hear? And see, I can't even tell you how beautiful the life is until you get rid of the old nonsense. So where are you from? How do you get this power? You want to know? I'm going to tell you. I come from another planet. That's it. That's it. That's simple enough. I come from another planet. And that's all the whole parables of all the Bibles is talking about. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. All this is just, this was just talking about visitations from other planes. And then all this is just parables. And a lot of it's symbolic. And a lot of it's totally confused because we got too many rotten kings that have written it and translated it. I come from another planet. There are other planets that are highly evolved. And I can get you there if you listen to me. And I can make this planet a better place. And if you don't let me help you make this planet a better place, you'll stay here until you do make it a better place. Now, what did I say? I refuse to repeat it on the grounds it might tend to incriminate me. I can see the newspaper. Jones is from another planet. And as funny as it sounds, that's it. You say, "What are you doing here?" What I want to ask is, what the hell are you doing here? Because I come to get you. So you trying to be funny? No. I know, I've known practically everybody in this room. If you stay with me, I knew you before. I knew you before. We've had it proven to us by prophecies that have taken place the exact minute, day, and year, month, and hour. Many times it's been proven. But I've known most of you. I don't know you. Well, then okay. You're in the wrong place tonight. You should have dropped down to First Baptist. You just got mixed up and got over here. You can correct it tomorrow. You can go over there. You can sit up there and listen to that phony talk about, "Jesus coming soon. He coming soon. I'm telling you, he coming soon." That's what they'll be telling down here. That's what Reverend Johnson will be saying, Reverend Jack Joe. "He coming soon!" On the radio. I hear that fool that follows me. "My God, I got something to tell you right from heaven, Jesus. It's coming soon." That's what he says that every time he follows me. He sounds like a broken record. And now the last time I heard that fellow that followed me, Snyder's got, he's got whatever his name is, he says he's a liar. First thing, you don't even listen to him, he's a liar. Said, "A young man, this young man, the old boy is 60-something. I said, "That's young, honey. That's a pretty big lie. You're stretching it some." "That old boy, what's that man that follows me? What's that name?" "Arturo Skinner. This young man who God has raised up to tell you the same old baloney so he can drive around in Rolls Royces and Cadillacs." And you look at old Arturo, he's sure got the clothes on. Man, I'm telling you, Arturo's fit to be tied. He tell you, "He coming soon. I'm going to tell you, he better be waiting. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. It may be at noon." But Arturo's got 5 cars and homes all up and down, all the way from Florida. Got a spot out there in Bermuda Islands. But he's coming soon. What's he need with a spot out there in Bermuda Islands? What's he need that Cadillac here? He's coming soon. Them fools tomorrow are going to tell you, "He's coming soon." They don't mean he's coming soon. All they want you to do is get rid of that gravy so they can go out and have a vacation. Okay, that's fine. I'll take care of it. It's so sweet, you know. All them liars tell you that. Yeah, you see, I don't tell you trust no Jesus coming soon. I'll tell you one thing, honey bunny. I'll tell you one thing. Nothing's going to come soon. But some old fool like me to tell you that if you're going to have heaven, you're going to have to build it. You're going to have to make it yourself. Somebody going to come in the same old usual. You notice I do have a new, different pair of shoes on tonight. But these are the shoes of one of my brothers back there, because I got in a rush to get to a telephone and left my shoes on the top floor. And they're someplace on the top floor. So I'm using somebody else's shoes. But ordinarily, they're the same shoes. I never bought any shoes. They say, oh, you got to watch that Jones. He's against God. He's the Antichrist. I am. I'm giving you blessings. I'm healing you. I'm saving you when you die. I'm giving you hungry. When you're hungry, I'm feeding you. So this is a used choir robe. We just fix it up every week. Use a little napkin on it. Clean it up. See, I want to get this thing down to business now so some of us can get into this so I can do a good job for you. I want to get to know you better. Some folk like Sister Bates. Good God, I don't get to shake hands with you enough, really, to satisfy me. Because I got all these folk tramping through here and saying, the Lord bless you, the Lord, the Lord gonna use you. Sister Bates, 2 years ago, she found out where her Lord was. She lay in a hospital bed. No, she didn't know. No sky God come took her out of the hospital bed. I'd like to do a whole lot more for her, but I did that for her. She's up now and around. Oh, yeah. She was laying on a hospital bed over there in Oakland, giving up to die. She knows who God is. Who you say?
Jim Jones.
Okay, Jim Jones. Oh, better hold that woman over there. She's looking for you to drop over and me too. We're not going to drop. See, we're in good shape. We're in good shape. People are afraid. You say, she believes you're God. Jesus said, ye are gods. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you see, she sees God in me and she got off the hospital bed. Now, if she'd have seen me like the old fool, some of you looking at a straight face, you think I'm some kind of a kook. If she'd have thought I was a kook, she'd have been laying over there still. She'd been gone. Instead of being laying over that hospital bed, they'd have had her laying out in some casket, and I wouldn't have gotten to enjoy this precious one. She's been such a joy to me and such a lift to me. I don't know, but I know one thing. If I get this settled down, we're going to get them. You know what we're going to do? Why, this is ridiculous trying to have big meetings and hold people together. They don't want you to sit down. Huh? You don't need to keep standing. I just want them to show you can walk. They think you can't walk. You see? It's sweet. Thank that custodian, Brother Harris, for his kindness to us. He said we could stay a little longer. And it makes me feel good because I'm going to use that, you know, to get straightened out. If I didn't have to work myself going over on these same things, you folks, some of you know it. You could almost tell what's coming next. I would like to get us... I want some of you to get this cause in your mind, because the way out of this plane is unselfishness. Selfishness holds you to the earth. Its gravitational forces will keep you here as long as you're selfish. It can't get out of here. So how did I get here? Well, some of you got here because you thought you knew more than I did up there when I told you I was the chairman there. I told you not to go. And you said you knew you could come down here and save this bunch. And I told you, don't mess with this bunch. So they had to come up on their own. But some of you made up your mind to come. And now you're down here and I love you. And so I'm down here too. Said, did you come for everybody in this room? Nope. Some of you don't know me. I didn't come for you. I'll be there when you need me, but right now I didn't come for you because you don't know me from Adam's off ox. You don't know me. I'll be glad to help you if you'll let me help you. So you're telling me strange things. You won't hear me talk about this too much, but tonight I'm just going to tell you as it is. Just tell you as it is. I come to get you out of this mess, and not only that, I'll show you how to build a better world while you're here. You'll have more. That thing making a lot of crackety crack crack. Now you cut that out. Give me another one of these things here. I don't want to have to hold that thing. I'm holding that thing now.
Fine.
Everybody was alive. If that car is, it'd be good.
Well,
Ship.
Oh, ship, ship, ship. Ship, you sweethearts. I want to get you get a little bit of the truth over and then close it up. That's it. Shift around a little bit. All right, all right. Now, the earth holds you down as long as you believe in lies about superstitions, about unknown gods, and as long as you believe in any other reality except the science of being and the science of mind. The earth will hold you down as long as you're selfish, capitalistic, and possessive. You don't want to share. It holds you down, just like the law of gravity. You can't get out of its gravitational pull until you get free of it. That's what I want some of you to get on with it, just like I've been free from it. Money doesn't hold me. I don't need clothes. I don't need any of that stuff. I would never even worry about looking decent, because the only reason I'll comb my hair, because if I walk out here, it wasn't combed, somebody'd say, he's looking a little tireder. And I got to show you, you know, that I look better than what the other preachers do, and they don't do one half, one tenth the work that I do. And I bet they haven't got as many grandchildren as I have, and look as well as I do, pressing here half a century. I bet they don't look as well as I do. I'm holding my own pretty well, and I'm going to keep holding it too, because too many people want me to die, and I'm a contrary cuss when folk want me to die. I don't die when folk want me to die. Sweet. They tried to shoot me, so don't you worry about it. They tried to shoot me down, and whatever I got going is better than what you had going before you met me. Because when they shot me down, you saw what happened. I picked myself right up. The nurses put their finger in there. I swear on your life, put it right in my chest, and the finger's just as big, just holes right in there. They said, you're gonna die. I said, no, I ain't ready. I said, my people need me. I'm not ready. Not ready yet. Now, the sky god never did that. No, he never did that. And he's not going to do that. Now, I'm here and I'm different. I am indeed different. But I can make you exactly what I am. If you listen. You got to get rid of all the false notions, though. See, I don't like so much talking, but the talking's what's going to save you. You're saved by the foolishness of preaching. You got to get to know me. Well, we're never going to get to know each other in these vast sessions where we have to go through the same bunch and people getting aggravated and coming in. So finally, we'll close down. There won't be public meetings. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you'll have to make a reservation to get in here. And there'll be a smaller number, but you'll have to make a reservation to get in here, because we're getting tired of going over the same things. We've heard A, B, C, now we want to get to D. But I got folk here, every time I come in, they can't get through A, B, C. If you try to get through A, B, C, it's Father's heart and nature. If you come, he'll try to explain it to you, and it's the same thing over and over again. So I'm getting weary with it, and my people are getting weary with it. So we need to get down to the business of giving our all. Now, we've had a few that have done it. They've put their soul into this new idea. They've put their soul into it. Take people like the Swinneys, man given up to die, could never work again. Now he's driving buses, keeping a business, turning it all in so that the children will have food, senior citizens will have homes, and they run the concessions at the park and did all this. Swaney's did the same. Her health was so bad. His health was so bad. They're active now. He drives a bus, holds a job. They're doing that. The new life has gotten them a blessing, and they give all. That's the way it was on the day of Pentecost. That was the new earth's message there. A visitor met them then, a visitor from outer space. Said, who are you? Yes, there was a visitor then, a visitor now. A visitor from another planet. That's all heaven is, another planet. And so I visited them, and I told them a way to live. I said, sell your possessions and have all things common and part to every man who's had need. Now, we don't have to have too many people to do that. And if a few people would do this and get together, some of you young people particularly, get in and give your all in this thing. Put your all in it. First thing you know, in another year, and we'll be safer, because we heard ourselves talking out here in public. Fools just listen to it and take it and use it against you. Just take it and use it against you. So we hurt ourselves, but if we quietly do our business, we could go out and we'd own one of the hospitals here another 2 years. Yeah. And we'd have a hotel here. We'd have it there. All up and down here we'd have things. But what gets me in trouble, I'm too honest a man to be in public. got some fella sitting back there up to no good tonight. Some young fella that ought to appreciate me, because I'd be the kind of a friend when there's no friend. I'll fight for you. One of the young men that takes a lead saw here. I fought for him in the courts and promised him through the prophecy that nobody else has got. I said, three-time loser. I said, you're not going to be lost this time, but I'll bring you through. And he's been free for 3 years. But you know what? Some of you sitting right here, you still got too much color consciousness. Just because I'm not just quite as dark as black you are, I'm just not quite dark enough. You kind of sneak around by night to see me. You're ashamed of me like Nicodemus was ashamed to see Jesus. No, not some of you. But some of my black and brown people are ashamed to be publicly identified with me. I could have all the money from the whites if I wanted, because I've got power like none of them ever had. They'd follow me, and they did. This Mother Eternal can tell you the building couldn't hold them. 2,000 be out in the yard, they'd be in the fields. I call them through the windows. They climb through the windows to get the healing. The whites would have taken it in, but they weren't my people. Because I come to those that are enslaved, those that are bound, those that have been deprived, those that don't have their equal rights. Those are the ones I come to, the ones that need deliverance, the ones that have freedom and deserve it coming to them.